All right, let's begin, you guys. We got everybody up and running, so yep, we're ready for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'd like to take your hat off.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, it's going to be a real simple meeting tonight.
You say that all the time.
Well, tonight it is.
Yeah.
We just basically have the election results discussion, and it is strictly for the town council and for the elected officials, so, and also for everybody, so that everybody knows exactly what happened. I was out of town when this all came down, so Jessica will fill you in on everything that happened because she's the one that has dealt with it all. But so the only thing truly on the agenda, we will do the conflict of interest, since the agenda is so simple. If anybody has something that they would like to recuse themselves for, please do. I don't see where it's applicable, but I want to give you guys the opportunity if you feel like that's the case. But anyway, so
I don't have one.
Was that Elizabeth?
She just said, I don't have one.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Elizabeth. Oh, I see you now. Okay, good. So anyway, we have a full quorum, Elizabeth on Zoom and the four of us. This is to clear up any misconceptions so that everything is out open and public about what happened with the election result. Okay, so I'm going to turn this over to Jessica because, like I said, I was out of town when all this came to pass. And she's the one that dealt with it. So it's only fair that she's the one that lets you know what went on. Go ahead, Jess.
All right. So I want to start with, even on the website compared to yesterday, this afternoon, there's been a couple things added. So if anyone is looking for any of the other information, just know that there's been a couple other documents added online. So I just kind of want to start of kind of why we're even in this position. We're having this conversation right now. And to start, so it was brought to my attention in the morning on Tuesday, November 28th, that there was a chance that Ray Gardner did not file his financial disclosure form on time. This person had stated that they had already called the Lieutenant Governor's office and had talked to Ryan Cowley, the Director of Elections. when that was said, since I am very new to this position and kind of looking to see what I do, listening to this and then being like, okay, this is definitely something that we need to look into. I called the Lieutenant Governor's office as my first point of contact afterwards. And so when talking to the, thank you. When talking to the Lieutenant Governor's office, we were talking about Ray Gardner's form, and one of the very first things that they asked, maybe to say mute, whoever. One of the very first things that was asked of me was, okay, now is this, thanks, here, do you want to share?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Is this, are we talking about the form that's in question? Is this for the October 24th filing date or for the November 14th filing date? And when that was stated to me, I let them know that none of the candidates had filed a financial disclosure form, entered it in for the October 24th date. And so this was one of those things that we went in just to check on Ray Gardner's and the timeline that he had turned his in. And then looking into it, not a single one of the candidates had turned in an October 24th financial disclosure form. And so the Lieutenant Governor's office, when I asked, you know, I don't really know where to go from here. Can you help me? The biggest thing that they let me know is that by not filing that, each of the candidates was disqualified from the election, and that we would have to move forward with, will you bring up on the web? Sorry, I want to make sure I state the right code. And it's just that these would all be, if you scroll down, in the disqualification letter.
If you're sharing something in the meeting room, is it possible to also see it on Zoom?
Yeah, we're just trying to get there, but yes, we definitely will. Oh, I thought I had another link. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna send that. Sorry, just making sure that everyone can see the same thing. Okay, yeah. Okay, so, and I want to make sure, so if anyone is wondering where these codes are, if they want to refer back to them later on the website, it is actually under the letter that was addressed that said the disqualification of candidates. And so the Lieutenant Governor's office sent over, or just gave me the code. They were like, here's the code that you need to follow. And what that is that every one of the seats that we have on the town council would need to be acknowledged as vacant. And then we would move forward with every one of the seats being appointed. And so talking to the Lieutenant Governor's office, they then stated that really in these kind of situations, everything then goes, kind of falls on my shoulders as the clerk. And so I'm the one who goes through the process of disqualifying everyone, where to move forward with this, and then kind of running things as they go forward. And so when I asked what my next steps were, it was advised to me to make sure to talk to our town attorney, and that they really couldn't help from any point past or further because it was a municipality issue. And so looking into that information, I spoke with our attorney. I spoke with the county clerk's office as well, because they're the ones who also helped conduct this election. And this is where it came about of the first letter that was sent out to the public, letting everyone know that all of the candidates had been disqualified. And so if you see, I think it's still sharing the screen, right? So this is the first letter that I had sent out, and it's just letting everyone know they were disqualified for not filling out all of the necessary financial campaigns or campaign finance statements. And then that we would be following this. And then, of course, we're scheduling to have this meeting because we wanted to let everyone know. As I sent out the letter, and when it came back, someone brought it to our attention. Someone actually wrote and brought it to our attention also that Boulder Town actually has its own financial disclosure ordinance. And so this was something that definitely comes with my inexperience to this position, and kind of falls just, it's not one person's fault or anything. It's, you know, I went all the way through the attorney to the county to the Lieutenant Governor's office, and no one was like, hey, do you have an ordinance? And I'm sure it's just because they, you know, expected that I would know that. And so on that side, once we found out that we that Boulder Town did have its own ordinance, things changed. So the state code actually says that you follow the state code if there is not an ordinance in place for your municipality. And so on the letter that I just recently attached, it's the one that's the second letter, and it says candidates letter, and then you'll see it's the further inquiry to as to candidate disqualification. And really what it states is that Boulder Town has its own ordinance for the financial disclosure form. Every one of our candidates met that standard. And so everything, we will take the results of the election and they are as they are. And so the candidates all stay in the positions that they have been voted into and we just move forward as that. So on that sense, I want to apologize to everyone. Just kind of, I know it caused a lot of chaos in this, stating that they had been disqualified and then later finding out that Boulder does have its own code. So I know that there was a lot of chaos around this and I apologize. It was a lot coming into it and just making sure that I was making sure that our office was following all the codes that we needed to and doing everything that that was asked of us. And so from this point, like I said, with us having our own ordinance in place as Boulder Town, everyone has followed those ordinances as the candidates. And so everything just kind of moves forward like it was before. And so Josh Ellis and John Bramp are put into the 2 4-year seats and Ray Gardner is put in under the 2-year seat. So I think that's it. Okay. Unless anyone has any questions. And I did go through, I mean, I've had a lot of emails and other things kind of asking about, you know, who was responsible for sending out the financial disclosure forms, who let them know. And so I attached the financial disclosure forms on the website. But if someone wants to go through them, they can. But at the end of the day, they actually don't matter because our town ordinance doesn't state those. Our town ordinance says that once you reach $750, then you have to disclose, and no one has. And so with that, I attach them for everyone to be able to see, but they aren't really something that affects this election or this conversation at this point. So that is all I have, except for those, yeah.
Okay, so clarification.
Yeah.
So you receive $750 in campaign contributions, you do not have to file whatever it's called in Boulder
now. I have to say, I don't want to quote, let me bring it up maybe before because I feel like you still do, but it doesn't have to, like, so the state, if there was a primary election, the state has deadlines. I'll bring it up here so I just so everyone can see at the same time. So the state has actual dates with deadlines, and so this is the part. Okay, so this section right here, you'll see. So this is the date that you can see for the primary election, and then this is you are eliminated from the primary, and so this is the date. So our town ordinance says that, like, we don't have these dates. It's more once you reach the $750 mark, then you have to turn in a campaign or a financial report every week. And so we don't really have dates that are set out. It says you have to turn them in every single week. And so you would still have to send one in by the end, and ours does say that as well. So every one of the candidates will turn in their final one, but that's the only one that we actually have to. So yeah, so they were not required to meet these deadlines or these dates, and these are the ones for, like, our primary elections. Everyone met the August 29th date. There was only one person for the October 5th. No one met this October 24th date, and then everyone met the November 14th date with question to Ray. But again, it doesn't matter because this is the state code and Boulder code says differently. So, yeah.
Anyone else?
Sometimes we don't have to follow the state. We are able to follow our own.
Correct. And the state code, I mean, it's the very first word it says in the state code is, if you do not have your own, then use this. I mean, that's me summarizing it, but so you'll see right here. So it'll say a municipality may adopt an ordinance establishing campaign financial disclosure requirements for a candidate that are more stringent than it continues on. So it's in that letter that I just attached. And so that's one of the parts too, right? The Boulder Town asks you to report it every single week after you've reached the 750, which is quite a bit more stringent than 3 times during the election.
So someone was unhappy and cause this commotion by opening this can of worms.
I mean, I'm not going to say if they were unhappy or not. That's not really, I don't know. But it was just brought to the attention saying that there might have been the financial form was not filed during the correct time. And Elizabeth has her hand up.
So in the long run,
did you just hand
everything? I'm sorry.
It's okay. Elizabeth just has her hand up.
Oh, I can. Okay.
Judy, you go first. I'll speak after you.
No, I was just basically going to say, so for the most part, we're right back where we started from, mm-hmm. but we wanted everyone to know what was going on because news travels around this town really fast, and we wanted to make sure that everything was set in place. So, go ahead, Elizabeth.
So, in Jessica, when you pulled up the Utah State Legislation Code, I just want to make sure that we're clarifying. So, in Section 2C, if it says if a municipality fails to adopt a campaign financer to close, you know, so it's that, then they don't have to comply. Are we also saying that 2A is true, Mayor, that our ordinance is not more stringent, or is it less stringent? And have we been advised by our attorney on that one, on Section 2A, not 2C?
That's the one. So this is something that it's a code that we have in place right now. It has met the qualifications, and if someone wanted to if someone wants to bring that up, that's something that can be talked about as later, but this is something that we have. It is more stringent. I mean, I guess that you can take that either one way or another, but as our ordinance states and as it is in there, yes, it is stated that ours does meet state code.
And I guess what I was asking is to the mayor or to other people in the town council, have we been advised by our attorney on that?
Yes,
that ours is more stringent? And have we had that from?
Well, Michael is on. So, I mean, you can ask Michael as well.
Michael is online. Michael, would you like to address that for us, please?
And either way, regardless of it, I think that, you know, recognizing that all six, if it was a mistake, all six made it. If not, I mean, the people chose the three candidates that are going forth, whichever way it is, whether it's as it stands or if we have to appoint the three that were elected or what the people wanted. I just want to make sure that this was brought to our attention, that we're now moving forward in the correct legal process.
Are you there, Michael?
I'm here. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
To go to your first point, have I advised as to whether our ordinance definition or requirements are more stringent regarding the financial statements? I haven't offered an opinion on that. But if you read that subsection 2A, it does indicate that. Let me make sure that I got that language correct. We may adopt an ordinance that
says we may adopt
an ordinance that campaign financial disclosures are more stringent. It doesn't say more stringent for who. It doesn't say more stringent as to how they're defining it. I have an issue as to what more stringent looks like, and according to who that burden is placed upon, the town or the candidate. It doesn't say. To be fair, and I haven't looked at the case law on any of this, but it just seems as though it doesn't make it clear as to who that burden is placed on. It's arguable as to what stringent means, and I know that's such a funny way of saying that, but I'm not hung up on what more stringent looks like for the candidate or the town or otherwise. It's just that we do have our own financial declaration statements available pursuant to ordinance, and that is going to satisfy that statutory requirement.
Okay.
And then you asked a series of questions in regards to that. You know, what have we done? How do we detect? What are we going to do moving forward?
And I don't need that. I just wanted to make sure that we were saying that if, you know, that we were following 2C, I just wanted to make sure that we were also making sure that we were in accordance with 2A as well.
Yeah,
and I was stating for myself that I believe that the three people that were elected are our next three elected officials, because that was, you know, and I want to make sure, but I want to make sure that they go in with the full support of the town council, and that we are doing everything in our power prior to their January 1st induction, whatever you call it, that we've done our due diligence to make sure that that's smooth from January 1st forward for the three of them.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I wholeheartedly agree. Either way, whether duly elected or otherwise,
I wanted to make sure is that once something was brought to our attention, that we are at this point doing everything in our power as a town council to support the three of them. Yeah. So that way, as of January 1st, they get to move in with smooth sails, and there's no questioning of anything because of a technicality of us not looking at 2A and only looking at 2C.
Well, I think you've pretty well answered that, and I think we're all in agreement for
this was an equally shared in mistake. I have to apologize for not having examined that part of the statute where I was operating under the assumption that Boulder didn't have its own election ordinance code in effect, based on the conversations with the Lieutenant Governor's office. Obviously, we should have caught this. I also think that there was nothing to catch, in addition to the fact that it was brought to our attention that there should have been some scrutiny applied to this, which wasn't there. And we absolutely appreciate that. But it turns out we were doing the right thing all along. So these candidates who have been elected, I know absolutely what you're saying is that we don't want to take it anything away from them because of our mistake. And again, I should have caught this as well. So I appreciate the council bearing with that. And, I guess what we could do is just say, hey, we fully support this election results.
All right.
Thank you.
Any more questions from the council?
When he says mistake, I don't think anybody made a mistake here. This was brought up by somebody else. He wouldn't have had a problem had somebody not been unhappy with the situation.
Well, the nice thing is it's resolved, and we're back to square one, so we're okay. And I want to congratulate the candidates, the new elected candidates, and look forward to January. We'll swear them in and do all our due diligence. So we do not have to have an executive session because of that. That's on the agenda. So if there are no more questions, we will adjourn.
Beautiful.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks,
Thank
everybody,
you.
For coming.
No,
thanks, everybody.